Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Last week we began what I said would be a series entitled The Hedge Series, and specifically taking a phrase from Hosea chapter 2 and verse 6, a hedge of thorns. I want to read that verse with you again. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 6, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths." The phrase and concept comes from the vineyard, the Middle Eastern vineyard that would have a tower often built in the center, and around the outer scope of the vineyard would be a wall that would be built of stones, and then beyond that, there would be a hedge of thorns that would be built all the way around to discourage animals from trying to leap over the wall. They had to first come in contact with that hedge of thorns that would keep the animals away from that wall, where they would attempt to leap over the wall and try to get in and spoil the vineyard. Literally, the Hebrew here is, "I will put a hedge about her wall." I will put a hedge about her wall, and it will be thorns. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you would anoint the preaching of your word this morning. Father, we're so thankful that you love us. As the song, the hymn that was just played by the instrumentalist, it took a miracle of love to save us. And we thank you, Father, for that great love that reaches down through the centuries to lost sinners, made possible through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the greatest expression of love that could ever be. We ask, dear Father, that you would anoint the preaching of your word today. Lord, we pray that you would help us to put aside the cares of the hour, the cares of the day, the busyness of next week, all the different things that have to be tended to. Lord, we dedicate this time to Thee. And we pray that we might enter into true worship as we study and gather around Thy precious Word. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I began this message last week, I wanted to emphasize with you a very important truth. I read this past week, I was just checking online to see some of the more up-to-date commentaries on Hosea, just for interest's sake, just to kind of find out. And it was interesting to me that some of the newer writers have said that Hosea was a man that just couldn't get over the fact that his wife didn't love him anymore, that she had divorced him, and he just couldn't get past that. And so all the things that happened in the first three chapters is just a desperate man who couldn't get past the fact that she didn't love him, didn't care for him anymore, and he was still going after her, and she was telling him that it was right. And basically, when they come to chapter 3, said it was wrong what he did to go and buy her out of the slave market. That was shocking to me, because it is so opposed to the whole book, the whole theme of this book. And let me say this very clearly here. Jehovah never divorced Israel, and Hosea never divorced Gomer. Very clear from the text. Never happened. As a matter of fact, when you read the book of Hosea, the picture is this. Yes, there was a separation because of Gomer leaving Hosea, but there was always that arm reached out to her to repent and to come home. There was never the concept taught, "I'm going to divorce you." He did say, "If you choose to reject me, I will destroy you." Big difference. Big difference. The modern concepts today, how does this world deal with unfaithfulness? First line, divorce. Right? That's the first line, divorce, divorce them. What's God's first line? How does He deal with unfaithfulness? He reaches out in love and He puts a hedge of thorns around the unfaithful one. Now, we talked last week in detail about the hedge, and we didn't really get finished with that because of time, but I mentioned there that a hedge is from God. Whenever you find the nine times that the word hedge is mentioned in the Old Testament, and it's mentioned also in the Gospels, it's always used in reference to God. God having established it, God having declared it, a hedge put up. A hedge is a boundary. A hedge is a limit. A hedge is good. A hedge is a fence. A hedge is protection. A hedge is a blessing. A hedge is God at work in love. Let me just say this, please. Husbands, in our marriages, we have to pray a hedge about our marriage. Amen? We have to pray for a hedge. Not only a wall, but we want a hedge. We live in days of great, great temptation, do we not? I mean, the temptations are everywhere. And we've got to ask God, Lord, put a hedge about our marriage. We rejoiced with the O'Pagers on Wednesday night, their 50th anniversary. And the Woods earlier celebrated their 53rd, 54th. I was close. 54th wedding anniversary. What a wonderful thing. But that's not an accident. This wasn't coincidence. The Lord had to undertake, and the Lord had to bring them through trials and difficulties. You've not had a problem marriage, have you? Okay, Mrs. O'Pager, you can cover your ears. There's been things that you've had to face as a couple. We all have to face things that come into our lives, and difficulties and trials and financial situations and medical situations and things that arise that come up that as together as husband and wife you deal with. Those things aren't easy. You have to ask God, Lord, put a hedge about us. And a hedge works two ways, does it not? It works two ways. It keeps things out, but it also does what? It keeps you in. You know what? I'm afraid that many marriages, that prayer is not prayed. Lord, keep us together. Keep us in. Lord, don't let us wander away. Now, obviously, it takes two people. And I mentioned last Sunday that there are times when one is stubborn in their sin and wickedness, that there's just no undoing it. And I understand that. And God's made provision in that regard. But I want to tell you something. God's made provision before that line comes. And oftentimes it gets ignored because the easy way is the cultural way of dealing with it. Right? I'm done. I'm out of here. I want to say this. Aren't you glad this morning that God doesn't do that with us? You just think for just a moment. Just stop for just a moment, please. In our run, 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 run society, where you got to keep up with the culture. If you don't keep up with the music and you don't keep up with what we're doing, you're out of it. Be out of it then, but be in with Jesus Christ. I'm weary. Aren't you weary of the constant barrage? We get it all the time. The comments all the time. Well, you know, if you just lower your music standards, if you just lower your music standards, you'd have a greater impact. Let me tell you something. The greatest impact that was ever made on this lost and dying world was when Jesus Christ bore our sins in His body on the tree outside the camp. You know, the sin offering that we were talking about is a very interesting offering. It is not a sweet-smelling offering unto the Lord. It's the one exception of all the offerings. The other offerings are volunteer. This was commanded by God. Leviticus chapter 4. It was commanded by God, and whenever the person brought their sacrifice, the sacrifice was killed. They took just the fat. The fat of the liver, the fat of the kidneys, the fat of the muscle, the fat of the muscle that surrounded that was taken away, put on the altar, and the rest of the animal was taken up, and you know what they did with it? The head, the legs, the hide, all the remaining parts, they took it outside the camp. And they made a fire, and they put that out on the fire, and they completely burned it up. Jesus Christ was not sacrificed inside the camp. God was satisfied, He was propitiated with the shed blood that took place inside the camp. Remember, He was bruised for our iniquity. By His stripes we are healed. He was beaten and blood was shed inside the camp, but He died outside the camp. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, bearing our what? Reproach. And what are we told to do? We're to go outside the camp with Him and bear His reproach. That was the greatest impact that's ever been made upon this world, was when Jesus Christ was rejected of men. Not accepted by men, but rejected by men. And you think that we're going to impact society by being accepted of men? I don't think so. I don't think so. God wants us to do what's right. He wants us to follow His Word. He wants us to stand in a loving way to this culture and call them unto Jesus Christ. But where is He? Where is He? He's outside the camp. He's outside the camp. And so we have to call to a lost and dying world, come outside the camp and stand with Jesus Christ. That's not a popular message. That's why Jesus Himself said that the way unto life is narrow, and few there be that find it. Not very many people want to go outside the camp. Oh, you can imagine the smell of that burning flesh, the hide of that calf or lamb after the fat had been removed, and they picked that up, what was left, and they took it and they set it on fire. Have you ever smelled burning flesh, burning hair? Oh, it's a horrible smell. I've smelled it on a few occasions. I've only smelt the dead body that had decayed on one occasion. But I want to tell you something, it stays with you. It is something that triggers inside the mind. That's the smell of what? Death. It's the smell of death. When you stand outside the camp, you have the smell of Jesus Christ's death. But I want you to know something. It's a wonderful thing. It's death to this world, death to sin, but it is life unto Christ. Life unto Christ. Now, without the hedge, bad things happen. Without the hedge, God's blessing is withheld. Without the hedge, Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8 says, he that diggeth the pit shall fall therein, and whoso breaketh a hedge, what's going to happen? A serpent shall bite him. Yeah, there's some serpents that live on the other side of the hedge. You determine, I don't like this hedge that's around me. I'm going to break it. You do so at your own peril. Without the hedge is lawlessness. Without the hedge, the enemy comes in. Without the hedge is the loss of what was once possessed. Without the hedge is your destruction. We looked at Job last week. Satan came to him in Job chapter 1 and verse 10. And he said, hast not thou made a hedge about him? This is Satan speaking to God. And about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Now this is Satan speaking about his servant Job. He says, I recognize, God, that you put a hedge around Job, but not only about himself, but also around his family and everything that he possesses. If you'll just break down that hedge, I'll show you what he'll do. I'll show you how he'll reject you. And so God said, all right, I'll put an opening in the hedge that you can go through, but know this, you're not going to kill him. You can deal with him ever how you want to deal with him, but you're not going to take his life. In other words, it was just a small opening in the hedge. We have a hedge out here in the front of azaleas. It's been there ever since I was a child when I came to church here. There's one opening out in that hedge. Now, it used to have a couple of openings, but they've grown together. There's only one opening now, and it's right in front of the American flag. And we keep that opening there. There's a concrete pad there. We keep that opening there so that the young people can go out. When we gather at the flag days, when we take chapel, sometimes we'll go out there and we'll pray for our nation. We also have it open so that our classes can get through there during fire drills, so they can walk through the hedge to get onto the other side. It's kind of a picture of protection, going through the hedge to get on the other side, to get away from the building that might be on fire as a hedge protection. You can't run through the azaleas. You can try. You can try to jump over them, but you're not going to be able to. They're about 5 feet high. Most people can't jump over them unless you're, 7 feet tall or whatever and got long legs. But it's there. It keeps you from God. You have to go through the opening that's there. God said, I'll create an opening. But you can't kill him. You can't take his life. God made the hedge around Job. God made the hedge around his household. God made the hedge around the work of Job's hand. The hedge made by God made Job's substance to be increased. That was the picture of Job before Satan came. Satan came. Job did not deny the Lord. Amen. He didn't deny the Lord. Oh, he asked some questions. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. God showed him that he had to completely depend upon him. And whenever Satan was done, Satan left, the hedge was completely filled. And Job got children back. He got all of his possessions doubled. Okay, everything was provided back to him because God had restored the hedge. The hedge is a good thing. Hedge is a good thing. Now, we're specifically using it in the context of Hosea chapter 2 now with Gomer and with the children of Israel. God says here in chapter 2 and verse 6, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way and make a wall." Now, actually, that is just one Hebrew word. "I will make a hedge about thy wall of thorns." Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment. Let's put some practical things here, applications here, before we get to the actual thorn aspect. Isaiah 54 and verse 17, and my mom called me to encourage me right after the verdict came back in our behalf a week or so ago, and she had been reading in her Bible, and she said, "I just wanted to share this verse with you, Todd, to encourage you. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." It's not only true of Job, but it's true of every child of God. There's a wall and a hedge. You break the wall and you break the hedge, you're in trouble. You stay within the wall, within the hedge, you enjoy the blessings of God. It doesn't mean that it's going to be pain-free. We learned that a few weeks ago, did we not? God never promised to keep us from pain and hurt and trouble and difficulty. It just simply means that you're protected. You're sealed. The man of God, the woman of God in any age is a hedge to his or her nation. The Lord seeks such men and women to make up a hedge. In Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 5, one of the nine times that the word hedge is used in the Old Testament, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." Interesting, is it not? So there's some gaps in the hedge and none of you have gotten up to go fill them. Why is that? Why is that, children of Israel? The righteous man or woman in an unrighteous nation is standing in the gap for that land, which restrains God's judgment. I believe that the same is true today. The standing in the gap by a believer in Jesus Christ will restrain God from destroying a nation otherwise deserving of judgment. Do you believe that this morning? How about with the United States of America? Are you willing to stand in the gap for your nation before the Lord? You ought to pray every day for our country. You ought to pray that the Lord would undertake it for our leaders. Oh, I know that things are horrible and terrible and there's a turning away from God, but I want to tell you that doesn't stop us from standing in the gap. You think how bad it was during Israel's day. Where was Ezekiel whenever this was shared with him? Where was he? He was about to go into captivity. He was going to be in captivity in Egypt because of Israel's sin. And God said, "I look for a man and a woman to stand in the gap." Same book, Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, "And I sought for me a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Dear friends, that is a serious indictment against so-called believers. I have found none to stand in the gap of the hedge. One of the preparations involved in planting a vineyard in the Middle East was to set a hedge about it. The hedge's purpose was to protect the vineyard, a second line of defense. Mark 12 and verse 1, "And he began to speak unto them in parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country." Here we have from the Middle Eastern times, the times of Christ, a description of how they built their vineyard. A tower, a wall, and what? A hedge about it. Let's think for just a moment. What's the hedge for a son or a daughter? What's the hedge? It's a mom and dad. Amen? It's a mom and dad. You and I are to protect them, parents. What's the hedge for a wife? It's her husband. What's the hedge for a husband? It's his wife. What's the hedge for a family? It's a godly man. And if there is no godly man present, it's a godly woman that will stand up as a hedge. The hedge for a local church is a pastor. I must say that I feel that weight, that importance of a pastor. I've got to have my rod and my staff as an under-shepherd to drive off the wolves and to go after the lambs that wander off, to bring them back by God's grace. That's what a responsibility of an under-shepherd is. We never replace the shepherd, the chief shepherd. That's Jesus Christ, amen? But an under-shepherd, a pastor, the one who works for the chief shepherd, has a serious responsibility. He's not to be sleeping on the job. He's to be alert and awake to make sure that the wolves don't come in and get the lambs and the sheep. I'm afraid that many churches today are unprotected because there are pastors that see themselves simply as an administrator. He sits behind a desk, but he's never out there with the sheep. God help us. God help us. Pastors are to be out there with the sheep, watching them, tending to them, feeding them. That's the responsibility. He doesn't go up into an ivory tower and there resume his responsibilities up there. You can't do it. You got to be down there with the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that He leads us beside the still waters. He takes us out into the pastures of grass. He restoreth our soul. He's with the sheep. And the under-shepherd is to be with the sheep, teaching and training and feeding. And oh, how we need that today in our churches. The hedge for Israel was her prophets and priests. The hedge for Israel was Jehovah Gannon. Interesting Hebrew word, Jehovah Gannon, Psalm 89 and verse 18. For the Lord is our defense. Two Hebrew words put together, Yahweh Ganan. The Lord is my defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. That's the picture that's given. The hedge for Israel was Jehovah Ganan. The hedge for the church of the firstborn is Jesus Christ Himself. The hedge for a Bible-believing Christian is our mighty Lord. He's our mighty defender. He is our protector. A hedge is meant by God to be a protection. God has a plan for Israel. It is seen through Hosea's preparation of a hedge of thorns for Israel. But not only that, Hosea was to prepare a hedge of thorns for his wife Gomer. The hedge was a remedy of love. Now, don't forget that, please. How does God deal with the unfaithful? He puts a hedge of thorns in love around them. He explains it to us here in this passage. We're going to get into that. But it's a remedy of love. It will remedy the continual problem in the departing of Gomer from her husband. It will remedy the problem of a departing Israel from her husband, Yahweh. Please take note. The context is concerning Israel and her unfaithfulness. But it also points to Hosea and Gomer. Now I want to get to the next part of this phrase that I've shared with you. I've talked about the hedge. It's good, is it not? It's a wonderful thing. It works two ways. It keeps things out and it keeps ones in. It has a function. in that regard. But I want you to say, please, what the hedge is to be made of. Would you say it, please? Thorns. Now, I just barely scratched the surface on this last time. Why didn't the Lord say, let's make it out of box hedge? The pretty green leaves? Let's make it out of azaleas. I know, we'll use some yaupon. They got the pretty little red berries and have the nice green leaves. That's a great hedge to use. But what does the Lord say? I'm going to put a hedge of thorns around her. I think it's important for us to realize that this wall was a prickly wall. I grew up here in Milton, and we used to go pick blueberries up at my aunt's property up north of Milton here near Adventures Unlimited. And sometimes when we would go out there, we used to go barefoot all summer long. Sometimes we would go barefoot. And we used to call these little things that grew on the ground prickly pears. Anybody ever heard of that, prickly pears? And then we had another one called stinger nettles. All right, now we mispronounced what it was, stinger needles, but we call them stinger nettles. And stinger nettles were those green little plants that would grow up low to the ground, just at toe level, ankle level, and underneath the leaves. Maybe you know what I'm talking about now. Underneath the leaves, all along the little stem and underneath the leaves, there's what? Little thorns that stick out. And oh, how those little things would hurt. You'd rub that across the top of your foot and it would be itching for the rest of the day. We've got bushes, briar bushes, all over Milton. Whenever they first came to this area, they named this town what? Scratch Ankle. And it wasn't because we had box hedge growing on the Blackwater River. It was because all along the riverfront was nothing but dewberry briars and blackberry briars that grow. We have them on campus here, and the kids love to come up here and pick the berries and so forth. But I want to tell you, you get mixed up with those with bare feet, they'll tear you up. They'll tear you up. Now, this is the picture. Gomer, Israel, I'm going to box you in with a hedge of thorns. And when you try to go toward that hedge and try to break through, you're going to get tore up. But I do this to turn you back into the way. To turn you back into the way. I want you walking in the old paths. I don't want you walking outside the hedge. I don't want you to climb the wall and then try to break the hedge. I want you to stay on my pathway, the pathway of righteousness, the pathway of love. That's where I want you to live. That's where I want you to stay. A hedge of thorns is a true blessing. I talked about a hedge being a blessing, but I didn't say on purpose the latter part of that. So let's plug it in. A hedge of thorns is a good thing. A hedge of thorns is a blessing. A hedge of thorns is a boundary, a limit that keeps us on the pathway of right. Now, the Spirit of God through Hosea is creating a picture to show us how God viewed His own relationship with Israel and how Hosea viewed His relationship with Gomer. Israel had been unfaithful. Gomer had been unfaithful and untrue to her husband. She is likened to the Lord as an unfaithful wife. That's clear from the text. That Israel had been unfaithful to God. So, how did God deal with His unfaithful wife? God has a plan to make something that is wrong right. God has a plan to make something that is filthy pure. And God has a plan to make someone who is unfaithful faithful. All within the marriage relationship, without divorce, without breaking it. Isn't this a beautiful picture? Now, I want you to understand, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way. But what's the rest of that verse? And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us. What's that next word? All. Now, We've been unfaithful. We've sinned. We have separated ourselves from our Creator. But through Jesus Christ and His righteousness, my sin debt is taken care of. And as I receive that free gift of righteousness, Romans chapter 5 tells us that that righteousness is unto life everlasting. What a beautiful picture here. If we choose to reject Jesus Christ's righteousness, then we choose to separate from Him and stay with the devil and go to his doom. But if I choose to turn to Him and receive His free gift of righteousness, I am restored to the Creator. I am taken from the kingdom of Satan and I put into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. All because of the hedge of thorns. I think it's very clear from the scenes of Calvary that that same hedge is seen, is it not? What did they plant upon His brow? Probably taken from a hedge that was nearby, maybe a vineyard that had a hedge that had been planted around the wall. We know that outside the walls of Jerusalem there were many farms. The Lord Jesus walked through olive vineyards. He walked through grape vineyards coming through from Bethany into Jerusalem. Probably just right outside Golgotha's hill, there was a thorn hedge that was growing, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take that, and we're going to make us a hedge of thorns, and we're going to plant it on His brow. Why? Why would they do that? It's interesting to me in studying this that that was not a normal procedure of the Roman soldiers when they crucified people. Their normal procedure was to tie them to a cross and would hang them outside the city along the roadways, and there they would stay for days until finally they asphyxiated and died. But very rarely did they ever plant a crown of thorns on someone. It's a picture, folks. It's a picture for you and I that Jesus Christ has placed a hedge of thorns about us. You break the hedge, you're bitten by the serpent. And by the way, in the Bible, the serpent refers to whom? Satan. I think it's the saddest thing in the world for children to grow up in a Bible-preaching church and go out and break the hedge. Don't you? I've read far too many newspaper articles, emails, voicemails of young people that I've known that have been a part of this church that broke the hedge. And they've been bitten by the serpent. How sad to break the hedge of thorns. God had a plan for Israel, and it is seen through Hosea's preparation of a hedge of thorns for Gomer and for Israel. The hedge of thorns is intended to be a remedy of love. The hedge of thorns will make a border, a limit to the continual problem of the departing of Gomer and Israel from their husbands. Remember, hedges are good, but let's go beyond that. Hedges of thorns are good. You know, it's an amazing thing how we like nice hedges, you know, but don't make them thorny. My wife has taken on the mission of maintaining our front hedge in front of our house. And half of it's azaleas, and the other part, I don't know what green things are growing there, but she keeps it trimmed back so it's all the same height and the same level. But I can go up into that hedge and not get pricked because there's no thorns there. But this hedge of thorns is a good thing because it's going to keep Gomer, it's going to keep Israel in the proper relationship so that they can return back to their husbands. That's the picture that's given to us here. Now, a thorn hedge will do a lot of good for Gomer and Israel. It will do us a lot of good as well. We often wander off the path of righteousness. We are like sheep. It is as the prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We still have sinful hearts, do we not? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We sing that hymn. It's true. Our propensity to wander is part and parcel of our sin nature. We need for God to hedge us in a little with the help of some good old thorns that will prick and hurt us a little so that we'll stay on the right pathway. But do you know what the institutional church is doing? They've got their hoes and their shovels out, and they're digging up the hedge. They are actively pursuing the destruction of the thorny hedge because we don't want anything to be between us and the world. We don't want there to be anything that would show that we're unkind to the world. They're missing the point. They're missing the point. To break a hedge means to go from the inside out. You see, folks that need Christ have to come inside. But you don't bring them inside by tearing up the hedge outside. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that brings them inside. Amen? It's not the church's job to bring them inside. It's the church's job to point lost sinners to Jesus Christ, who alone can save. It's not my job to go down and break the wall down and tear up the thorns so they can get in. That's not how it works. Jesus Christ, without the camp, suffered for us. And through Jesus Christ, lost sinners can be brought from outside the camp with Jesus Christ into His presence. And the Bible tells us in John that not only are we put in the Father's hand, but Jesus Christ's hand is on top. We're completely sealed. We are in Christ Jesus if we are believers. And the church doesn't have to go out and tear up the thorn hedge and the wall for that to take place. Amen? But that's what the institutional church is all about today. Oh, we've got that thorny hedge out there. People won't feel good about Jesus. They won't feel good about church as long as we've got that thorny hedge out there. That's how the world thinks. That's how the world thinks. Hedges are good. Hedges of thorns are good. It keeps the bad out, and it keeps the righteous in. That's the picture that's given to us. Now, a thorn hedge will tend to keep us hemmed in on both sides of a narrow path. The narrow path is good. The narrow path leads unto life. The narrow path is the old path that considers our relationship to God, our human relationships such as marriage, home, circle, church life, on the right path. That's the picture that's given. Let me close with this. A thorn hedge is not the worst thing that could happen to us. Some people say, well, that's the worst possible thing that could happen to us. Oh, no, it's not. Could I take you to another passage of Scripture? God in His mercy has chose to utilize a thorn hedge because of its moderation as compared to something else that is found in the Bible. The something else that is even sharper than the hedge of thorns is the briar, according to the book of Micah. In Micah 7, verse 4, just listen. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. Isn't that interesting? Briar being sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of the watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. In that particular chapter, giving you the context there, the children of Israel have come to the place where God says, I'm going to have to judge you. And now that hedge of thorns that I put about you, now the briar is going to come. And it's sharper than the thorn hedge. You see the picture that's given here? Do you want to go to that next level? No. No. God set aside Israel and He introduced the church, the mystery of Paul. He introduced the church, but He set Israel aside because she refused to receive the hedge of thorns. And so He sent the briar. But He's still not done with Israel, is He? He's not done. In His graciousness and His mercy, He's not done. Because He tells us in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel chapter 36 that I'm going to take away their heart of stone and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. and they will love me. He's not done. So you see, a hedge of thorns is not the worst thing, is it? It's a good thing. Lord willing, we're going to pick up with this. We're going to talk about how God did it. How did He do? How did He build this hedge of thorns? We're going to look at that. Two ways: through purposeful actions and through prayer. Talking about on the earthly side of things. Through purposeful actions and through prayer. And we're going to get into specifically our relationship with others, praying a hedge of thorns around those we love that will keep us on the path of righteousness. It's a good thing. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, need to understand that God put this hedge of thorns around Israel, and He put the hedge of thorns around Gomer because He loved them. And He wanted them to return. Wanted them to return. That's how God does it. That's how God deals with unfaithfulness. Do we want to do things God's way? Or do we want to just do it like the culture does? Just quick, let's end it, be done with it. No, let's do it like God says to do it. And then we'll have God's blessing. Father in heaven, we pray that You'd undertake, that Your word would go forth in power. Lord, we live in a culture today that is so far from Your word and its authority, it has no concept or understanding of truth. And it's so easy, Father, to let the culture's way of thinking and its philosophy integrate itself into the church. And then we start thinking like the culture, and we start doing things like the culture does, which means that we're doing it opposite to how You want it done. We're breaking the hedge, and the serpent bites. Now, Father, I pray that You might teach us from this verse of Scripture. We've spent time in it, Lord, because we believe that there is something for us here. I ask, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts. Lord, You loved us. You gave Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. You literally put a hedge of thorns about us. Lord, I pray for those that may be here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep trying to break the hedge. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish, but rather have everlasting life. Lord, I can't think of a better hedge of thorns that You've ever placed around mankind. I pray that those that are here today would not break that hedge, but would rather submit to the call of God upon their lives and would receive the righteous gift that comes from Your hand. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags, not of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Lord, work in hearts. There may be those here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, pretending, being very religious, but just as lost as they can be. They're kicking against the pricks, just like Paul. I pray that You might work in hearts and draw souls unto Yourself. And Father, believers that are here, we're not exempt. As the old hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Siren call of this world is to come away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, You've loved us. We pray that we might respond to that love and stay within the bounds of Your precious word and know and enjoy that wonderful love that You've bestowed upon us. And we'll give You all the praise and glory for what You do in hearts today, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.